Hello, Internet. My name's Jonathan Cook.
And I'm Matt Noble.
And the Screen Verdict Podcast is back in 2017, ready to kick it and kick it hard with HBO's Westworld.
Yeehaw!
We're saddling up, ready to fire off with our opinions, and we'll try not to be robotic the way we go about it.
Yes.
There we go. Some C-grade puns to kick off the podcast.
Had a bit of an argument about this before the podcast started, but we're going to do no spoilers. Oh, no, we're going to do spoilers.
Glad we got that settled. All right, we are going to discuss spoilers. It's been out a little while. We're too eager. We're just too anxious to get in the juicy, gritty, electronic details.
Too much happened in Westworld. We have to unpack it. There's stuff that I have to get off my chest.
So if you haven't seen it, go watch it, come back, join us now, and don't tell us we didn't give you a spoiler alert. Spoiler alert!
So, we are now going to discuss the spoilers. We'll discuss Westworld Season 1, and we'll talk a bit about, we might spoil things as we talk about it.
Yeah, we'll tease them out. We're not going to hit you with all the spoilers off the bat.
No.
So what we thought we'd do is we'd break it down by the characters, the arc. So there's a lot going on, a lot of interweaving and woving and other words that are actually real words. But we're going to do four categories. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's line this up for our trusty listeners.
Okay. So the four categories will be.
Okay, so we have the group of Dolores with William.
William?
And his brother-in-law?
Buddy.
Yeah, brother-in-law.
Prince Caspian from the Narnia series.
Yeah. That's where I knew him from. So Dolores, that's who we're introduced to at the beginning of the show. So you know she's going to be key to the storyline.
Yep.
And she is...
Evan Rachel Wood.
Yep. Evan Rachel Wooden. She's stiff. Stiff like a robot, but she gets free throughout the series.
Mm.
So she's a robot. Is that what they call them? All of a sudden I just had this thought, you know how in The Walking Dead they don't call them zombies? They call
them hosts.
Hosts. Yeah, I knew it. I was like...
I do a Walking Dead, a Westworld, web show, and on that I just call them robots. But they're actually called hosts in the show.
And have you received criticism? Because the online comment section is not known for being kind to your mistakes, Matt.
Yeah, I think people are fine with it. I don't really care. They're robots.
Stick to your guns. I like it.
So I'll probably call them robots in this too, but I think host is the show's term.
Yeah, so she's a robot, and in the first few episodes, we kind of get to know her. She has a relationship with Teddy, and that's kind of interesting, just sort of from an acting point of view, watching these robots be in love with each other. And you're like, this is all programmed, and how would the actor try and pull that off, love, or what, a robot perceives to be love? But really, because they're both robots, you're not really that invested in the romance, or at least I wasn't.
I was in the pilot. I sort of thought, oh, here we go. They might as robots have to figure out how they can be in love with each other without being so they can actually progress their relationship on rather than just living the same day again and again and again as robots.
I feel like the show starts out as, I bet they're really a robot. I bet they're really a robot. And you think, oh, is that what the show's going to be like? And then the show does a lot of other stuff and you sort of forget about it. And then later on you're like, oh crap, that person was a robot. And that person was a robot. Oh my God. They're all robots.
Yeah. I think it's probably worth the premise of the show is there's this theme park of robots. And you can go and visit the robots in the theme park and interact with them. But then, like, if their day ends, if they've stopped interacting with you, they just wake up and it's the same day again, a bit Groundhog Day-ish.
Yeah.
And they adapt which stories. They use the robots differently. Like, over time, the robots change and they evolve them and add things to make them more interesting so that return visitors to the park are something new to do. But, yeah, so that's generally it. So I guess on that level, like, it is hard to get too invested in just the robots on their own, because just on their own, they're just programmed to engage with each other in a certain way. It gets interesting when the robots are interacting with the humans.
Yeah, because I think it's the end of the first episode where there was a line earlier in the show, something about how she wouldn't hurt a fly and they're programmed not to hurt people. And there's a fly buzzing around on someone's face earlier and they don't do anything about it. And then at the end of the episode, there's a fly on her neck and she swats it. She smacks it, slaps it. Other violent words beginning with S. Mm. And you go, ooh, maybe she could hurt a fly. Yeah. Unless the fly is a robot as well, in which case she's allowed to do that. But I don't think that was the implication. She's going rogue. She's killing flies.
Yeah, so she kills a fly, then, oh my gosh, like, maybe, if they say she couldn't kill a fly, then she kills a fly, maybe when they say she can't kill a human, she could actually kill a human.
She's going to work her way up the food chain, and by episode 10, she's going to kill a human.
Episode 2, she kills a spider. Episode 3, she kills a bird. Episode 4, she kills a cat, then a dog, then a horse, then a cow, and then the old lady who ate them all at the end.
There you go. Well, some good fan fiction right there. I'd watch that.
The Westworld and the old lady who swallowed a fly crossover.
The one you've all been begging for.
Yeah. So, would you go to this theme park, Jonathan? Would this be something you'd spend 40 Gs for a day at?
Yeah, man, that's expensive. That's like, it's a year's salary right there. Like, rent in Santa Monica might have to come down a bit for that to be in the budget. But let's say I won the lottery, or Scream Verdict really takes off. Yeah, I guess I would. I feel like I'd be a good guy in it, though. Like, I wouldn't want to go there and just sort of, like, so I can know what it's like to kill a man. Because it's pretty real. Like, like seeing other people get hurt and stuff, I'd be like, oh, damn, that's not fun. This isn't like a video game. This is way too real. I don't want to hurt these people, even if they are robots. But I'd be a good guy. The adventure sounded fun. I like Westerns. I'd be up for, tracking down a bad guy, or, I don't know, finding someone's missing treasure or all that good stuff. Yeah, I mean,
yeah, that'd
sure.
be fun. Yeah, I don't really get, like, I feel like you'd want to keep your eye on the people who go, like, oh, yeah, I want to go to Westworld because I want to know what it's like to kill someone and rape some, like, girl. And you're like, okay, let's maybe keep our eye on you when you come out of the theme park.
It's a bit like The Purge. It's like, just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. And I feel like it's always felt a bit this way with some of those, like, I don't know what the games were. Like, I was never that much of a gamer, but those video games where you go, like, just, I don't know, rape prostitutes or whatever. Is that in games? Like,
You're probably referring to Grand Theft Auto. That's a pretty famous game. I think, like, I don't know if you can really rape people. I think this maybe at worst, the sort of the implication of it. But you can definitely kill them.
Maybe, like, was there a game called Duke Nukem or something? Like, was that a game that...
I didn't play that one. I don't really know how rapey it is, but...
Anyway, I never saw the appeal of those games.
Yeah. I don't mind, like, shooting people and stuff, but generally if a game gives you an option to play as good or bad, I usually play good. Even in a fictionalized world, I don't want to be, like, raping and pillaging.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, I agree. Particularly the former of those two.
You're like, I don't know what pillaging means, so I'm slightly less offended by it, but I definitely wouldn't rape anyone.
I feel like I sometimes as a kid played video games where I'm like a robber trying to steal a bit of money from a bank or something, and that sort of okay, I feel. and the little robber's mask and a like stripy t-shirt, like running out of the bank with the bag of money.
And look, you didn't grow up to be a grand larcenist, so there you go.
There you go. But anyway, so yeah, I agree with you. I would love to go. I would love adventures. Like, I would love getting treasure, going on like an old Western train, like maybe like being chased by people on horses. Like, this sounds pretty fun to me. This sounds like a good thing. $40,000 is expensive. So, like, I think my problem is spending that much money on a day. I'd be very, like, paralyzed by wanting to make the most of that day and, like, oh, no, what, I've spent too much time here. Like, I've only got 10 hours left. I think I'm blowing it all. Like, why don't I clean that saloon sooner? Like, I'm not going to make it to the treasure in time. Like, I think that would be my problem. Oh, if I spend it, stay for another 5 hours, they're going to just take another $40,000 out of my bank account. Like,
you spend, like, all day playing poker and you win a bunch of money, but it's in, like, 1800s currency. You, like, cash out for, like, $25 in 2016 dollars.
Yeah. So I think I'd be worried about that. Yeah. And then I think I'd, like, we then have, like, a human come in, William, to the park with his friend and meet up with Dolores. And to be honest, like, William falls for Dolores, and I feel like I could see myself doing the same. I feel like I could be a bit of a William.
Yeah, I thought Dolores' story got really interesting when she met William, because he's with, you know, douchebag 9000, and William seems more thoughtful, and you're kind of intrigued by him. You're like, okay, what's his story? And then he meets Dolores, and it didn't seem in, like, a pathetic way, though, like, oh, yeah, classic idiot falls in love with the robot. Because there was actually something different about Dolores, and he was able to recognize that. And that's kind of like, you know, a lot of the intricacy of the show is kind of like, you know, what makes someone human. And he was able to identify, like, some level of humanity in Dolores. And that was, yeah, for me, when their story got interesting.
Yeah, like, there's definitely parts of their story I was like, oh, man, I'd be so into this if that was me. like, sort of, I think the scene where it really, like, hit a pinnacle was the couple of episodes, one where they have to run to get on, to jump onto a train before, like, a town blows up or something. I don't know, like, I was like, I could just imagine myself, me and someone, like, chasing down a train and jumping on it in the Wild West with our hats on. And then they got in the train and they, like, made out and stuff. And, yeah, like, it seemed really, like, that was a really cool, like, love scene. And then, like, they had a fight with a guy on it or something, didn't they? Like, that like, was all the makings of a great sort of romance, adventure, Western. And I was like, oh, yeah, that'd be worth $40,000.
Yeah, running away from the dynamite, just making the train, that's like, that's the adrenaline that you need to go for that first kiss, man.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, so like,
F the world, I don't care if you're a robot, I love you.
Yeah. I was a bit of a sucker for the romance at that point. I was wanting to see it happen. Oh, yeah, but it's interesting because he's engaged back at home. Do you reckon what happens in Westworld stays in Westworld, Jonathan? Or do you reckon?
No, never does.
Yeah.
You can change that to Vegas. You can change that to, I don't know, Vegas. They're the only two that come to mind. But wherever you think it stays, it will not stay there.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is what made me kind of conflicted, because I liked William. I liked Dolores. I liked William and Dolores, but he was married to someone that I don't know, I don't care about. So I just got to fill in the blanks. I'm just going to be like, eh, her brother's a douchebag. Maybe she's a douchebag.
It doesn't help her case that the only thing we know about her is how much of a douche her brother is. Like, it's the only information we have on this poor girl. Yeah. So you don't think it's acceptable, like, to go home? You don't think you could just tell you hey, I had a great time at West... Or your fiancé, sorry. Oh, I had a great time at Westworld today, honey. I fell in love with this robot, Dolores. We had sex on the train. We got the treasure. It was such a fun day. And she'd be like, you cheated on me, really upset. And you can't just go, it was a robot. It was a game. You weren't upset when I, like, shot 5 people yesterday in Call of Duty.
Like, she was a robot. Yeah, I thought she might have become sentient. But she was still a robot. It doesn't count.
It's a theme park ride. Yeah, no, I agree with you. It does not stay in Westworld. This is an issue. This is a relationship issue.
So, yeah, maybe that's something that will be addressed in the future. Because what's interesting is... We never see, I guess, the real world other than, like, the headquarters of Westworld. We see in Westworld, and then we see sort of, like, the offices. But we never see anything that happens. You know, we don't see these people's friends or family. So do you think we'll get to see maybe outside in Season 2? Or is that what kind of Westworld's about? It's kind of about this other world, and that's kind of its focus. Do you think it would lose track if we, you know, started seeing characters outside of it?
Well, this might jump the gun a bit in terms of what we're talking about, but I did feel we may have been heading that way with the Maeve, Thandie Newton storyline.
Mm.
But it looked like we're not now. So it looks like maybe they're not going to branch out to the outside world. Because I think they had an opportunity to do that at the end of the season, but they decided not to.
Mm. We'll see. And we'll talk a bit about Maeve a bit more, but... I guess seeing as we're talking about the offices, we had some interesting characters. We have Anthony Hopkins playing Robert Ford as the creator of Westworld. Oh man, is this guy not telling us everything?
The co-creator, don't forget Arnold, who's mysteriously died before the series started.
Yeah, that was a good mystery. I like that. Who is Arnold?
Yeah.
Like, rather than, hey, Arnold, it's who's up.
They said he killed himself or something. Like, there's sort of some story about how he died, but it was always very vaguely spoken about. You thought there's more to the story here.
Yeah, it was an accident just before the park opened. Yeah, don't ask questions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, oh, man, I have so many questions.
And I was like, I bet a robot's involved. Okay, so we've got the girl that we've got the lady who also seems quite high up in the company.
Yeah, I like her. She's very well. She doesn't smile a lot. She always seems angry. She's angry with Robert. She's angry with Bernard. She's generally miserable.
Yeah, we've got Bernard, as you said,
Jeffrey Wright. I love Bernard's character. He was great. Because in such like a chaotic world, he was such a calm presence.
Mm, yes.
Just so like logical and but also empathetic, and you were just kind of rooting for him. And as kind of things like with Ford, like more questions come up with him, I'm thinking, oh, if anyone's going to figure them out, it's Bernard. Like, he's the smartest, and I know he's close to him, good friends with him, but he's... If anyone's going to get to the bottom of it, it's not going to be Teresa or whatever her name is. It's going to be Bernard.
And he wore glasses.
Yeah.
Clever.
You can trust the man with poor vision.
Yeah. You're forgetting my favourite from the Westworld headquarters.
Was it that Lee Sizemore guy, the British guy?
Yeah. British writer.
I didn't really understand the purpose of his character. Like, I enjoyed his scenes because he was kind of just a ridiculous person, but it didn't really tie in all that strongly to anything else that was going on.
I feel like he was the comic relief of Westworld.
Yeah, I think so.
This is like, I figured it out. It's bigger than all of us. Everyone's got different motives. And like, you go, oh yeah, interesting. I'm hearing you out. What are those... What's everyone's made? So I haven't figured that out yet. Okay, well, come back to me and figure, like, you've really just told me that there's different agendas don't tell me what anyone's agenda is or what anyone's playing at. So, you know, then there's like his big sort of, I've come up with the best idea ever, rapid river ride or something. Go on an adventure and stuff. And like, it's going to be amazing. And then like Anthony Hopkins just also goes, yeah, no, nah, we're not doing that. We're going, I've actually come up with an idea. I know I haven't in decades, but let's scrap your thing you've been working on all week. And then there was like my favorite where he's like, oh my gosh, there's this big massacre. The villain, I've given him the best writing of all time. Like, he's going to win me a Pulitzer Prize or something. And then one of the guests just shoots him before he gives the... Yeah. But there's like him hitting on the lady in the bar that ends up being on the corporate and getting really drunk. Like, and then like it turns out she's on the board of directors. Like,
which didn't work out too badly for him. She was like, "This guy's an idiot."
Did he ever sleep with her? Like, what happened?
I don't think so. I think he would have been in. If she was in, he was in.
Yeah. No, that's true.
But you'd think it would have made him look silly, but I think it actually worked in his favor because she just saw him and thought, he's an idiot. I can manipulate that guy.
Yeah.
I can get him to do what I want.
She was the member of the board looking for an idiot to manipulate. Yeah. So anyway, I loved it. I want to talk about him because I thought he was... I hope we see more of him in the season.
So, what did you think about the interviewing of the robots? Did you enjoy that scenes where they're doing the analysis back at the lab?
Yeah, a little. Yeah, it's fine. I thought some of the interviews were stronger than others, depending on who they were interviewing.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't think they were the most necessarily exciting scenes in the show, but just, I guess, on like an intellectual level... I guess the writing was just really strong in that I believed it. I was like, here is a human talking to a robot that is programmed to be a human. And I just thought it was just like, really an interesting exercise in like writing and acting, I suppose. And then they would give you like little tidbits about, you know, things to come in the plot. Yeah. So I enjoyed them.
To be honest, I was a lot more interested in the Western stuff that was going on. Maybe it's because I'm a fan of Westerns than I was the laboratory sort of stuff.
I agree. I think in general it was more exciting, but I think they got the balance right. And I really liked in the second half of the season where Maeve spends a lot more time back in the office because she's not just there to, you know, do analysis or whatever, get repaired. She's there to break out. She's got this plan going to manipulate these, I don't know what they call them, like these tech people, whatever, to break out. So that was really interesting to me. I thought she was one of the strongest characters in the show.
Yeah, like definitely one of the best performances of the season from Danny Newton. Yeah, this was really interesting. I feel like these tech guys would get on well with our writer friend. They were sort of some more lemons.
Yeah.
Real just like idiots that could be easily used. Like when you've got a robot that's been programmed to behave in certain like ways and you've got access to their programming and they're able to manipulate you, you're not doing great.
I did like the Asian guy though, because he might have been a bit gullible, but at least he had a good heart. Whereas the bearded guy, you're like, oh, anything you get, you had coming to you.
Yeah, that bearded guy was really all talk, though, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Look, we can do anything we want, you see? Like, you're just a robot. And then she just, like, got to his neck with a knife and said, like, would say, like, you have to do everything I say now. He's like, okay, okay, okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like just, circling back to that writer, I was just thinking that, like, he's sort of like, I imagine, like, what writers on sitcoms that aren't very good feel about themselves. Like, you know, someone's like, oh, man, this episode of Two Broke Girls I just wrote, this is the funniest thing on TV.
<You're> like, yeah. You just look like, where should I put my Emmy? Should I need to move this? Like, what would go well color scheme? lies yeah. next to my...
yeah. Anyway. I like... You're all right. The Asian guy was quite good. And I think this was an interesting story, and it led to a really great sort of final couple of episodes where she stages the breakout and she's picked up a few other characters from Westworld to help her with the breakout.
Yeah.
Because it was a good team.
You have Dolores, who figures something's not quite right, but Maeve is the first robot, I believe, to come to the knowledge that she's actually a robot. And so that was a really interesting process because she starts having, like, memories or dreams, and she draws a picture of one of the men in the hazmat suits that she sees.
Yeah.
And then she maybe hears something and she goes to bury it, and she lifts the floorboard and there's, like, 20 of these pictures that she's drawn in, like, previous days. And that was like a, that was a scary moment. That freaked me out. Like, can you imagine being kind of like terrified, feel like you're locked in some world where something's not right. And then you put a piece of the puzzle together and then you go to hide that piece of the puzzle. And you realize that you've been here 20 times before and you're still locked in that puzzle.
Yeah. You're still at that first, that first piece or something, I don't know. I thought that was pretty cool. It's also really interesting, the Maeve and the Dolores sort of journey, where Maeve is really trying to figure out how to escape Westworld, like, physically. And Dolores is a lot more focused on reaching sentience.
Mm.
I want to have free will. Like, and it's sort of like, to Dolores, where she is less important. It's more being with William and or having a choice over where she is.
Mm.
Like, yeah. Because I'd argue that, like, Dolores never, well, she barely steps a foot out of the Western environment. Maeve gets all the way to the train, but it's Dolores who at the end is able to really break out of that maze.
Yeah. Now these, let's talk about the Man in Black a little bit. I think he's kind of the last major person we need to touch on before, you know, getting to sort of the
final episode, or
twists and turns, like, in the last episode or two. Yeah. So yeah, the Man in Black. Oh, this guy. I don't like this guy. He's
Did you say you don't like this guy?
Nah, man, I don't like him. He's evil.
Interesting.
Yeah, no, I wasn't a fan. Here was the thing that I was hoping to happen. Because, like, out of the people in the park, the only people that we're really following regularly, other than hosts that aren't ever going to be able to stop this guy, I guess, was William and Logan. So I was like, William, he's the good guy, and the Man in Black, he's the bad guy, and they're going to meet at the end of the season, and we're going to have either the Man in Black's going to win and he's going to find the center of the maze, whatever's at the center of the maze, or, you know, Dolores is going to be on the line and William is going to save Dolores by taking out the Man in Black. None of that happened. Completely terrible prediction. But that was where I thought their storylines might be going.
And that's where Dolores thought the storylines would be going too. Because in the final episode, she's with the Man in Black. He sort of got her captured, or at least they're working together a little bit. She goes, "You're a horrible man. William's going to come and save me from you."
Ah, William. I knew a man in the park named William.
And then you knew, right? You knew what was coming.
Yeah, I did. But yeah,
I'd read some fan theories that that's where things were going.
Hmm. Well done, Internet.
That was I've read, watched a YouTube video on why William was the Man in Black, but I've also watched a YouTube video on why William was not the Man in Black.
The very fact that a video existed why William was not the Man in Black is like a somewhat of an argument that William might be the Man in Black.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. The show dropped several hammers on you throughout the season. That might have been the biggest one.
Yeah, it's apparently, like, one of the things in the video was that Best World, it was a different logo, like in the scenes with William and the scenes with the Man in Black.
Well spotted, well spotted.
Yeah, are you still there?
I think it's kind of lagging a little bit, but I am here. Okay.
This is interesting that you didn't like the Man in Black, because I, like, the first episode didn't like him, but then I started to think, oh, maybe he's like actually his heart's in the right place.
Nah, I felt like he was pretty irredeemable, just the way he, like, it implied that he was gonna, like, rape and murder Dolores in episode one. It's like, eh, there's just no reason for that. There's no explanation for that. And it's not like you can just turn your character around, several episodes later. He was interesting, and his pursuit of the center of the maze was one of the most interesting aspects of the series. So I certainly, I liked it when he was on screen, but I didn't like him.
Here's the thing. I think the first, like, I agree that what he did to her in the barn is an irredeemable act, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I started questioning the second or third episode whether he actually did rape her in the barn. Or they just wanted to make us, like, think that he had done that. So that we would think he's a bad guy. Because they do cut to, like, there's another episode where they flash back to that barn scene and, like, he starts talking to her about something, then he takes out the knife. And I wonder if that was him, like, giving her the knife for later use, or the gun, or whatever. I don't know what it, like, it was a while ago I saw this episode. So I can't remember exactly.
Well, she ends up shooting him in a barn.
She shoots him because the gun's in the barn, right? Yeah, I remember this
stuff. I don't think that was a flashback. I think it was just, well, it might have been a flashback. It was either a flashback or they were there again, because, I don't know, the same thing seems to happen to a lot of people over and over again.
Yeah, it is hard to keep track of what are the flashbacks and what are just the, I really liked that day at the park, let's just do the same things again.
Yeah.
But I thought that maybe he didn't rape her in the barn, and maybe he's actually a good guy. Well, like, maybe not a good guy, but, like, a more complicated guy than just a bad guy. And I actually started to think that Ford was the real bad guy, and that the Man in Black may sort of team up with Dolores against Ford or something.
No, he killed Maeve and her daughter. He did a lot of bad things, this guy.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I guess that
for me is one of those heartbreaking things about the season, is that my favorite character, or at least probably, you know, the person with the best heart in the series, ends up being arguably the person with the worst heart in the series, which doesn't fill you with a lot of optimism. You can maybe what's the word I'm looking for? But not constrained, but just kind of keep that to within the realm of Westworld. Or more pessimistically, you can just apply that to the world at large and say, you know, it will beat you down. It will turn you into a bad guy, which was a good twist, but pretty depressing.
Yeah, I quite liked it. I thought it was sort of, like, I thought there was a sweetness to it, like a real bit of sweetness to it. And I thought it was a good move. And I sort of, it was tragic. It was very sad. Yeah, it was pretty interesting. So they get to the center of the maze. They get to the center of the maze, so they dig up, like, from a grave. They get to a grave eventually. They dig up. There's one of those little, the kind of mazes you get, like, at the bottom of, like, a cereal box or something, like, but it's plastic and it's almost like a nice wooden version. The little, like, ball that you
get. Oh, yeah.
So it's sort of like seeing, like, that was the center of the maze. But, boy, that's really... That's really not the best prize for winning this maze thing. But then Robert Ford comes. Is it Robert Ford? I don't know. Mr. Ford, Dr. Ford.
Yeah, I think it is.
Comes out and explains that actually the maze is more for the robots. It's not really for the people, William. And it's sentience, which was something that Arnold had concocted, like something Arnold had really wanted the robots to get to. And even though all season Ford had sort of said everything to give the impression that he and Arnold disagreed on whether robots should or could get to sentience, that actually, I guess, through his death, Arnold changed Ford's mind, and he'd secretly been trying to fulfill Arnold's quest.
Yeah, so let's break this down. There was quite a lot going on here. So I guess the first step was Bernard was a robot.
Oh, yeah, we forgot that. Yep.
Which, whoa. Yeah. Again, I guess just because they're a robot doesn't mean I like them less. Because, Maeve was one of my favorite characters. I like Dolores too, and they were robots. But I guess because Bernard and William were the two people that I was rooting for to get to the bottom of everything. And then William ends up being the man in black, and Bernard ends up being a robot. So I'm like, damn it. I need to pick all the wrong horses. So he's a robot that's actually built, I guess, in the image of Albert. And we see some scenes with... because Teddy keeps having these flashbacks of Wyatt murdering all these people. But it was actually him and Dolores that were murdering all the hosts, because Albert wanted for all the hosts to be killed. I guess because he didn't think that they should be trapped in Westworld. Was that your understanding?
Yes. I think he wanted the robots to reach sentience, like free will. And I think, yeah, for them to reach that, they need to turn against the guests. Or they needed to...
Well, they weren't guests. It was robots killing robots.
Yes, robots killing robots. So, I don't know. Maybe if you kill all the robots, you get sentient. I feel like if you'd asked me this 2 or 3 weeks ago, I would have had a better answer.
Yeah, my interpretation was that even if the robots aren't sentient, that they're on their way to becoming sentient, and sentient creatures should not be trapped in Westworld for them just to be, killed repeatedly. So yep. In order for us to stop Westworld from being opened, if I get a couple of the robots to just kill all the other robots, that'll make them, the investors in Westworld or whatever go, oh, wow, this is not going to work. The technology's not there. We're not going to invest in this. The robots are just killing each other. What a waste. They just killed all the other robots. We can't send guests in there.
And it resulted in the Dolores killing Arnold, correct?
Yeah. So yeah. I guess that was kind of the biggest argument, actually. I mean, yes.
I think that might be what Arnold's grand plan was, maybe. I think that was part of it, right?
Yeah, because robots aren't supposed to be able to hurt guests. And for them not only to hurt a guest but kill the co-creator of it would surely make anyone go, oh, we can't open this place. Like, this is not going to work.
Yeah.
But it failed, because they did open Westworld. As clever as Albert was, Robert, I guess, won that battle, because he got what he wanted, and he created Bernard in Albert's, Albert's image. What was his goal, do you think, We sort of together, back Robert's? And forth, we bounce it around. We think we got to Albert's motives. What are Robert's motives with Westworld?
Okay, here's what I think. Actually, okay, here's what I'm going to lay out what I think. I think I'm starting to piece it together a bit better in my head. That Robert's motive was just make money. This is cool. We're playing God. We're, with these robots. They have no... Right, like this is our world to create and do what we want with. It's for the humans, And Arnold was a bit more, no, it's sentient. These robots, we need to care for them. We need, them to have free choice. Like, what's the point of designing something and creating this world if the people we have don't have their own free will? And I argued over that. And then Arnold's plan would be everyone turning against, all the robots turning against the thing and then shooting him. I don't know if that was Dolores reaching sentience, but I feel like that act killed Arnold and didn't achieve that goal, but it actually changed Robert's mind.
Hmm.
Like, like, he convinced Robert, and that's why I think he wanted to make another, like, Arnold, like an Evo robot in the image of Arnold, because I think it was through that that Robert was convinced of Arnold's argument, and then started a sort of, I don't know, 20-year, however long it is, plan to actually fulfill Arnold's dream.
Hmm.
That's what I think. So I actually think Robert had the same motive as Arnold, but it was only through what Arnold did that convinced Robert of that.
Okay. So in the
final... Do you buy that? Does that sound good?
Yeah, I'm going to buy that for now. Let's see how that ties into what actually happens. Because at the end, we have him unveiling his new... his new narrative to the investors, and there's like a big cocktail party, and then
Theo and Teddy and Dolores kiss on the beach, and then like the lights turn on and like everyone's clapping and go, my story, and I'm like, oh yeah, this is a home run, bit of romance. So I don't know why people thought that was a great story. Hey, and in my new story, the robots will go off and make out on the beach while you and your family are somewhere else.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, would this have still played out the same with guests in the area? Because what's the point of them doing this if the guests aren't there to see it?
Yeah, anyway, so he's up about the story. It's pretty good, though. It's a pretty good scene with Teddy and Dolores. Like, I could see people buying tickets to that movie. So, and then they have the cocktail. So, yeah, then we're at the cocktail party.
Yes, we're at the cocktail party. And,
Ford's Theatre, if you will.
Yes. Basically, what we all know happened. Hopefully we all know happened, because this is a spoiler podcast. Dolores kills Ford. Okay, that's... We know that. That's what happened. That was a pretty big moment. But let's unpack this. I guess the two things in my mind are, A, why did Dolores do this? Is she sentient and that's just what she wanted to do? Or was this something that Ford had manipulated her into doing? And B, this seemed to be part of his plan. He very much seemed to be aware that he was about to be killed. Why? What purpose does that serve? How does that help him and his vision if he gets killed by Dolores?
I think what we see with Dolores there is like her first sort of sentient, purely sentient choice.
So Ford tells Dolores and Bernard that he feels bad, I think, about Arnold's death. And that, yep. I think he implies or says that he wants the host to be free as well.
Yes.
So do you think he has also wanted Dolores to find the center of the maze, aka become sentient, and her killing him is the sort of like the first step in proving that, and then the first step to like the hosts being somehow getting their freedom?
Yes. And I think that's the big story, like, that he was launching is actually a story of a Westworld with sentient hosts where the stakes become real for the visitors.
Hmm.
So, yeah, I think that was, like, a very dramatic first choice. I think her shooting Ford in the head was her reaching the center of the maze, is my theory.
Yeah. I'll buy that. I'm just sort of wondering what Ford is thinking, because, I don't know, aren't they just going to, like, shut down Westworld and just kill all these robots? I mean, no one's going to come to Westworld with, like, sentient robots there.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, maybe.
Well, William's going to keep coming back.
Well, that's true. Because he was saying, like, he was playing for, like, a deeper game where there were real consequences.
Real stakes.
So I guess he would like it. I just feel like it wouldn't last. People wouldn't, it would lose the investment, and it's not going to be an ongoing thing where a Westworld with sentient hosts exists. I don't know. I just can't see that.
I do think that's a fair question for Arnold and Robert Ford. Like, once the robots reach sentience, what is the plan? Do they just go out into the world now? Like, have real lives? Do they just live in Westworld and enjoy themselves there, or, yeah, like, I think that was never really explained as to, once hosts are sentient, then what next for them?
Well, I thought we were going to get to see that with Maeve, because she successfully pulls off the escape.
Yeah.
But then, all of a sudden, she starts having thoughts about her daughter, and... I don't know, this sort of annoyed me, because she knows that wasn't her real daughter. That's just another little robot that they built.
Yeah.
So why go back to Westworld to save her? Two theories. One, it doesn't matter if... it matters to her that there are other people that are still in Westworld, and even though they're not human... they're just as human as she is, and she wants to save them just like a human would want to save them, like a robot wants to save the robot. So she wants to get other people out of Westworld, maybe not just the little girl. Or B...
just similar to that, but basically, you know, even though she knows it's a robot and stuff, she's still got that, like, a human-like attachment to her daughter.
Yeah, so I'm hoping it's that. Or either B, the second explanation is she's not free. We think she's free, but she's really just trapped as a
robot. Everything she just did, including going back to Westworld, was what Ford had programmed in her to set off Mayhem and be part of his larger plan of, you know, resistance against the park and the board and things like that.
Yeah, and I like Maeve. I want her to be free, but I'm not convinced she is.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's pretty up in the air. I sort of read it more as the latter, but I think I read an interview with someone from the show that made it seem a bit more like the former, so I don't know. Yeah. So it's all happening. Did you also see, apparently, Maeve and Ko, when they were escaping, ran past the samurai world?
Yes. How many worlds are there?
Well, you know this is based on a film.
Oh, yes, I did, but then I sort of forgot, because I haven't seen the film.
Yeah, so,
which is based on a book, right?
As there are in that film, because that film has more than one world. Like, it's like a theme park with, like, it's like Disneyland with sort of five different theme worlds, or however many it is. I guess however many worlds are in that film might be how many there are here. Do you have any interest in samurai?
It sounds interesting, but I would probably go to Westworld. I'm more interested in... I prefer westerns than samurai movies.
How much of season two do you want devoted to samurai world?
Little.
Yeah, I agree. so I feel like season two will be Maeve returning looking for her daughter, and maybe a park, like maybe visitors trying to escape Westworld, which could be pretty cool.
Yeah, this could be like a season of Prison Break for the robots.
Yeah, so it could be pretty fun. I like that William sort of got what he wanted with the sort of stakes being real. He seemed pretty happy when he got shot. He's like, yes. It's like, for 30 years I've been trying to be able to be shot by a robot.
could have gone and got myself shot in the real world, but no, I wanted to be shot by a robot.
Yeah. There you go. Any other thoughts on Westworld season one?
I don't know. I think we touched on all the major things. We can probably give it a verdict. Westworld season one. Alrighty, my expectations were high. Western, my favorite film of all time, The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford, is a Western. Sci-fi, Kurt Vonnegut, my favorite writer of all time, sci-fi writer. HBO, nearly all my favorite drama shows, like The Wire and Sopranos and Boardwalk Empire. It's an HBO show. So the bar was pretty high. And for the first, the first episode is like, it's a little bit slow, it's a little bit talky, I'm kind of intrigued, but I'm not sure whether I'm going to love this. But then each episode, it gave me a hook. Each episode, there was a penny drop or a hammer drop, and just they kept on dropping just bigger and bigger items on you throughout the season. And probably by about episode 6, I was like, oh man, this is next one, next one, next one. This show's so good. And I really liked how it played out. I really liked all the twists. I thought they were all really clever. I was so enveloped in the world. Great performances. I liked the opening. Little bit of tidbit of trivia for you. I don't know his name, so that's why it's just a tidbit instead of a whole chunk. Same guy who did the theme music did Game of Thrones.
Oh yeah.
So there you go. If you want to,
not the visuals.
Yeah, no, just okay. There. But if you want a theme done, get that guy. Westworld and Game of Thrones. Good job, buddy. So there you go. Very, very intrigued for season 2. Very much enjoyed the show. I am going to give it a 9 out of 10.
Whoa. The one thing I will say on music is also I liked how they did those pop covers to Western.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Radiohead, my favorite band of all time. They got a Radiohead cover in there. So, ooh, I'm glad you brought that up. That was one of the best scenes where Maeve is walking through the offices of Westworld, and she is seeing like how these people are created and killed and then brought back to life and programmed, and it's to a cover of a Radiohead song, and that went, that was just a stab in the heart. That was a really powerful scene, in my opinion.
Yeah, I like the pilot, just in the, you know, when the guy came to shoot it, like you had a big sort of fighting shooting scene, and they were playing the Rolling Stones' Paint It Black, but the cover. And so, like, only halfway through, I realized, oh, I know that song. Oh, yeah, it was really fun and nice.
You're like, oh, man, I love this old-timey music. Oh, hang on, that's Rihanna.
Yeah, to, like, pick pop songs and do an instrumental Western.
Oh, no, Matt, we've lost you.
Wood was probably my favorite, but also Thandie Newton and Anthony Hopkins, Ed Harris, Jeffrey Wright. I thought technically it was a great show. I think the performances were, like, really outstanding. Some shout-outs to M. Rachel Wood, Thandie Newton, Jeffrey Wright, Anthony Hopkins, and Ed Harris. So, really stellar effort there, guys. I thought there was great romance, great adventure, great action, really interesting premise. It was a show, it's sort of a bit like Game of Thrones, where a show that I was looking forward to watching every week to see what happened. Like, it really had me hooked in. And, yeah, I think some of the things I found a bit, like, it was a bit of a hit-and-miss show. Some directions they took I really liked. Some directions I was a bit not sure about. Like, you know, like Thandie Newton at the very end getting back on the train, like, getting off the train and going back to Westworld. I was sort of, like, going, oh, seems like that was a whole lot of work just to go back to where she sort of started. That all being said, really enjoyed it. 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10. There you go. I feel like, look, say what you want about 2016, but there was some good film and TV in 2016. I think our screen verdict awards this year are going to be pretty competitive.
I agree.
One more time with gusto.
Yeah, I agree.
Thank you, Matt. Well, there you go. There's our Westworld review, season 1. Definitely be watching season 2. Matt, do we have any housekeeping this week?
Not that I can think of.
It's the award season. I'm feeling encouraged. I'm feeling motivated to watch lots of films. So there'll definitely be some film reviews coming out soon. New season, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, just started, so not that soon, but that'll be in the pipeline. Maybe we'll keep them rolling. I don't know about you, Matt, but one of my New Year's resolutions is record more podcasts.
Yes, let's do it. Let's make it happen. It's going to be a big year for podcasts, big year for weddings. We'll have at least one of us are getting married this year. A lot's happening.
One, possibly two. We'll see.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah. Maybe you'll meet someone at the wedding in September, and by December 31, you'll be married as well.
Whoa, that would seem out of character for me, but we'll see.
Look, I didn't think William was going to be the man in black, so you never know. As long as you take a less evil turn, I'm happy with it.
Yeah.
Find a nice lady, find a nice robot, I'll support you.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. I'll try.
Well, there you go, guys. Thanks a lot for listening to the podcast. We hope you enjoyed it, and we'll see you again next week.
Okay, bye.